You know, I've been thinking quite a lot, and I'm not a very organized, systematic type of person. I'm more of a feeling type of person, an emotional type of person, and kind of follow my inner voice type of person. And you know, sometimes my so-called inner voice, if I follow through, comes out right, and sometimes it doesn't come out right. But I just got to try it. Because sometimes I look back and I think I regret for not trying. Because what's the worst that can happen is but to try. Well, when I left home when I was 15, I arrived in Los Angeles and I stayed at my a relative of my step-parents in California, Los Angeles. And I was hitchhiking across the southern route of Los Angeles. I was 15, going on 16, because it was around my birthday area, just before my birthday, but around September, October. And you know, I arrived somewhere like in Arizona and Nevada, around that area. And I called up my relative, the only one that was living in California, and I said, can I come over and stay with you? And he said to me initially, no, it's not very convenient for me to come and stay. Then I said, okay, never mind. And then when I was just about to hang up, he said to me, wait, where are you? And I said to him, well, I'm already in Arizona. And he says, oh, you're so close by already. You might as well come over. So I said, okay, thanks. And I had very little money left. Hung up the phone in the payphone, and then I hitchhiked. And I got a ride with a pair of English guys. They were tourists, very nice. They didn't talk much to me. They stopped and said, where am I going? I said, California. They said, great, that's where they're going too. And they were driving across the U.S. in a rented car, Hertz. And I was like, okay. I fell asleep for two or three states. Well, no, one or two states. And when we arrived in California, we just entered the border. And we got into California. I don't know, it was some valley. I forgot the name of San Fernando or San Bernardino, whatever. I can't remember. There was a concert going on. And I don't even know what group, but there was thousands of people packed there. And they were going for a concert, and it was congested. And one American Indian lady of mixed parentage, she's Caucasian and American Indian, and she was 38, bubbly, fun, loud, and she was very, very nice. And she was with her boyfriend. She picked me up, and she said, what happened to you? And I said, hey, I ran away from home. She says, oh, I did too. And I'm like, oh, you're 38, you ran away from home? She says, yeah, I ran away from home because her father, didn't accept the fact that she had an 18-year-old boyfriend and she was 38. And I'm like, okay, whatever, cool. So she took me to her boyfriend's house. I met her boyfriend's parents. This is already in California. And they're all very friendly. And they gave me a sandwich because I was hungry and some milk, some drinks. Then she said, what's going to happen to you? I can't remember this lady's name. It's too bad for me. She was really nice. And I said, well, I need to get to Monterey Park. That's in the suburbs of LA, and that's where my father's relatives are staying. And she says, I'll take you. She borrowed a car from her boyfriend's parents, and she drove me. It was something like a 1.5, 2 hour, maybe 3 hour, about 2 hour drive. And when we arrived, my father's relative and his family were not in, they were out. So she dropped me off there. I said goodbye, and I waited in front of the house. And I was really moved and touched because this lady was really kind. So I stayed at my cousin's house. His name is Bob and his wife is Pauline. And they were very nice and accommodating. I stayed here for 2-3 months. And by law, before you're 18, you have to go to high school. So I re-enrolled in Mark Keppel High School. And I worked at night at McDonald's. And I stayed in Bob's house. So during the day, I went to school. And at night, I went to Bob's. And in the whole school, I mean, because it's California, it's Los Angeles, so you have a lot of kids, you know, drunk mothers, abortion cases, You know, you have kids who are delinquents, you have kids who don't want to study, and gangs. I mean, it's a city, you know. I'm not criticizing anyone. So they have a special program called GED, General Education Degree or Diploma. And those are for kids who can't stay in high school and finish. So I was in the 10th year of high school when I left Howell. And so in California, I continued my 10th year, and I went for the GED test. And I think, I don't know, 5 or 10, 15 kids went for the test in the whole school. And two of us passed. You know, we had to go really far, and it was a really grueling test. And I passed the test, and I got my GED degree, which is General Education Diploma, which is equivalent to a high school diploma. Because in the States, you have to go 8 years in elementary by law, and 4 years in high school by law. Then you can go to college or university, whatever you like, but that's optional. So I dropped out of school. I got my GED, and I can go to college anytime. Legally, I don't have to go to school anymore, because once you get the GED, you don't have to go to school. So I went to work full-time, as much as I can get, stayed at Bob's, and I decided, hey, I left home, I want to do Dharma now. So I started looking in the phone books for Dharma centers, and I walked around the city in Los Angeles itself. I walked around in the suburbs. You know, I mean, I didn't have money, so I had to walk. And it was all right. I was young, and I was really excited, and I walked. So I came across this Dharma center called Dharmadhatu. And, you know, I'm at the bottom of the stairs. They're like one flight up, and there's a grill, and they're open, and I'm knocking. And I'm ringing the doorbell, but nobody would come down and open the door. So I said, okay, whatever, you know. And I stayed for quite a while, and I was knocking on Dharmadhatu. I wanted to go. I wanted to join in. I wanted to be part of them. So I couldn't get in, and I left. Then I went to the University of Oriental Studies, Los Angeles. And I figured, well, it's the University of Oriental Studies. So since it's the Oriental Studies, there's going to have a Tibetan department. There's going to be a shrine room and a Buddha. And I'd like to kind of go to the shrine room with my sadhana and my mala, and I like to kind of do my prayers and meditations, because I haven't been in front of a proper shrine for months, you know. So I went there, and I met a very nice professor, Dr. Leo Pruden, who has since passed away. And I told him my story. I told him what I was looking for, and I said I was looking for a shrine. And he says, well, young man, we don't have a shrine here, but I know where I can find one. And I said, where? He says, there's this center in Los Angeles. It's on 135 St. Andrew's Place. And it's not far from Hancock Park, which it's Los Angeles. And he says, there's a center there with a very wonderful teacher named Geshe Thurum Gelson. And I was like, oh, wow. So, you know, this professor, he got me in his car. He drove me across town, which is quite far. And he took me to the center, and the center was empty. But we went to the back of the center. We walked in. And he was very familiar because he's friends with Geshe. And we walked into the kitchen, and we knocked, and we heard a voice inside the other room. So when we walked in, the living room and the dining area was turned into a gomba, a Tibetan meditational place. In the center, there was a Dalai Lama's throne, there was Lama Tsongkhapa, and there was yellow curtains and light streaming in. And you know, right below the yellow curtains on a cushion was this great Geshe named Geshe Thurum Gelson, as I mentioned, sitting, doing his meditations with a light streaming in, and above him was Lama Tsongkhapa. And I just went, wow. I was just totally amazed. And I prostrated. I prostrated to Geshe, and I told him who I am and what I'm doing and what I'm about. I told him everything. And he welcomed me. And I was so overwhelmed. And then Dr. Leo Pruden says, well, I guess I'm leaving you in really good hands. And he left, and I really thanked him. You know, I saw him a few times after that to thank him, because I was just a young kid, 17 by now. And Geshe told me, have you received initiation? He asked me, and I said, yeah, I have, Anuttara Tantra. And he said, well, we're having tok tonight. I said, wow, what a coincidence. So I joined in the tok, and I knew my rituals. And Senate members were kind of surprised, because I was 17 and I was young, and I knew the rituals for tok, and they were taken aback, and they were asking me who I am and all that stuff. And so what happened was, I returned home, to Bob's Place in Monterey Park, and I started commuting back and forth by bus. It took about two and a half hours by RTD bus to get from Monterey Park to where the center was. So I decided to move into the center. And I talked to the center, and their rental was about $250, which I could not afford a month. So they talked with the committee. They say he's a real nice young boy, and he really wants to do Dharma. Let's help him. So they had a small room downstairs next to the kitchen. It was really small. It was maybe, maybe 10 feet by about 8 feet. And it was in the Dharma Center, and upstairs lived another Dharma student, and Geshe-la's sponsor, Robert Stone, and Geshe-la himself lived upstairs. Next to me was the Gompa in the kitchen. And you know what? I didn't have to put a deposit or nothing. I moved in. So I went back and I told Bob, I'm moving in. And he says, are you sure this is what you want to do? And I said, it is. I do. I left home in New Jersey to do this. And so Bob gave me his permission, and I thanked him and his lovely wife for having me over his home. And I stayed for a few months, and I was grateful because I could have been on the streets, you know, whatever. I could have really been on the streets. And the streets in LA are not easy. So I moved into Dharma Center, and I was 17 years old. Just think about that. I was so excited. So I called up New Jersey to my first teacher, because my original teacher is in New Jersey, Geshe Losan Tarchin. And the reason I left New Jersey is because my parents wouldn't let me study with him. So I left New Jersey, and, well, I called permission that I can study with this Geshe, because by Tantra, you just can't run to another guru and say, I want to study here instead of there, unless there are situations you can't help, circumstances. So I asked his permission. He said, fine. And Geshe Losan Tarchin in New Jersey said to me, you are very lucky. He said to me on the phone, all right, you are very lucky. You have found a very qualified teacher in California, Los Angeles, Geshe Thurim Gelson. Serve him, learn from him, and treat him as you would treat me. And I was so moved and touched because I got my first guru's permission to study in California. You have to understand, I didn't want to leave New Jersey. I didn't want to leave my teacher. I didn't want to leave Geshe Losan Tarchin. I didn't want to leave where I was studying with him. But I had no choice because of my parents. They wouldn't let me study. They were harassing him. They were, you know, one trying to report him to immigration. And they were telling, they were spreading rumors in the neighborhood. They were doing everything they can to stop me from studying with Geshe Losan Tarchin. So I ran away. I ran away from New Jersey to California, and I found Geshe Thurim Gelson. Geshe Losan Tarchin is from Sarah May. Geshe Thurim Gelson is from Ganden Shartse. And I'm from Ganden Shartse. That's the coincidence. My reincarnation, that is, my previous life. So when I met Geshe-la, I stayed in the center, you know, and wow. I worked in Photomat. I worked in McDonald's. I worked in laundromats. I worked in garment stores. You know, I worked in restaurants as waiters. I worked anywhere I can. Sometimes I worked 3 jobs a week to support myself, and I would study at the center. And on my free time, I would actually serve Geshe-la. I would cook for him, and I would make tea, and I would clean his room, and I would do his laundry, and I would set up the meditation cushions. I would wash the dishes. I would wash the floor, vacuum the carpets, make the offerings. He taught me how to make tormas. I would make the tormas for our pujas. I assisted him when he went anywhere. I went shopping for food for the center. And I basically became Geshe-la's assistant. And I did the work. And I did the work happily. And I did the work as best as I can. And I stayed in the center doing Dharma work. And you know what? I didn't see it as work. Cooking for my teacher wasn't work. Cleaning the gomba wasn't work. Washing the dishes and doing laundry wasn't work. It was serving my teacher. And by serving my teacher and taking care of my teacher, I would purify my negative karma, and I would collect a lot of positive karma. And I did that for years. So if we have the fortune to be near a teacher, or be in a center with a teacher, or be in a Dharma center, or we're doing Dharma work, and we're receiving stipend, or we're not receiving stipend, we're volunteering. You know what? We need to not think that we're doing the Dharma center a favor. We need to not make the Dharma Center think that we're doing them a big job and that we're so good. We need to think that the Dharma Center is offering us an opportunity to do something good. We can all practice Dharma on our own. We can all do that. But you know, if you concentrate your talents and efforts and abilities and energy and time together, you can build a lot more. Think of it this way. Let's say we want to build a bridge across a big lake. All right? Imagine building the bridge on your own or building a bridge in an organized bridge company, a company that builds bridges with another 100, 200, 300 people. So people might say, oh, I don't like being part of the organized company. I don't like the politics. I don't like the work. I don't like the personalities. I don't like the pressures. I don't like how some people act. It's true. There are people who are different than us, act different, talk different, and think different. But you know, if you're in a bridge company and you're building the bridge in a construction company, you can get it done faster and quick as opposed to doing it yourself. So that's like joining a Dharma Center. You can get enlightened on your own. You can join, you can be on your own and meditate on your own, study on your own. You can do that. But if you join a Dharma Center, which is not the only way, it's a good way, not the only way, then you can concentrate all the efforts, time, talents together to make the center grow and have more Dharma, study together, sponsor together, help together, and do work together. So when you join a Dharma Center, you can build that bridge across that lake of samsara to enlightenment faster. There are politics. Where there's people, there's politics. It's not Dharma that makes politics, it's people. There are politics, but you know what? Where there is not politics, even if you're by yourself, you have politics with yourself. So therefore, we have to think carefully. There are pros and cons, are the pros more for us? It's an individual decision. So when you join a Dharma Center, you got a department head, you got people who are working just as hard as you. There are people who have committed. You know, you shouldn't bring your home problems to them. You shouldn't bring your hassles. You shouldn't bring your depressions. You shouldn't bring your problems to work. Why? Since you're working in a Dharma Center, you should apply the knowledge you're learning in a Dharma Center to your everyday situation and improve yourself. The Dharma place is the place for you to improve yourself, not for you to let go and expect everyone around you to give you as much attention, as much sympathy, as much time and compassion as possible. People around you are compassionate, are kind, are loving, and are caring, but they also have work to do. You see, they didn't set up a Dharma Center to take care of just you and your endless problems, which perhaps you don't want to take care of. They set up a center to help everybody, and to help you, you need to help yourself. You need to help them to help you. So, when you join a Dharma Center, you should have integrity. What you say, you should do, because you represent the Dharma. You're trying to practice the Dharma, all right? So what you say, you should do. What you preach, what you learn, you should do. You should be compassionate. You should have integrity. You should be honest. You should never take. You should never expect. You should never create gossip. You should never, ever complain and trying to influence other people's minds against a person you don't like. You shouldn't make factions. You shouldn't make parties. Why? Because you're in a Dharma Center and you're not getting together to do something to do harm. You're trying to get together to do something good. So if you're trying to get together to do something good, then do something good. Remember, it's a privilege to do Dharma work. It's a privilege to work to benefit others. And you may be suffering and unhappy while you're doing work for others, but you know what? Your suffering and unhappiness will become less as you serve others. Because by serving yourself, you haven't become happy. Try serving others. Okay? So have joy in doing your Dharma work. Do Dharma work with love, with a light heart, with care, with a motivation to benefit others. Do Dharma work to develop Dharma in you. That's my message for you today along this beautiful beach. And I wanted to wish everybody well. And I wanted to say, if we gather together and we work hard together, you know what? We can build that bridge. Thank you very much.